The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of David Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com, brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More at ShelleheadComics.com. Check out our wonderful sponsor, Shellhead Comics and More. Go to ShelleheadComics.com today and check out all they have to offer. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are back with an all-new show. Welcome my co-host, Dave Draper.
Yay!
Yay! We are back on the... as you're listening to this...
Literally the eve of JoeCon. Tomorrow, the elitists get all their stuff taken care of.
Many of you, as you are listening to this, Dave and I, depending on when you're listening to this, Dave and I will. Well, Dave will be standing.
Dave will
in line.
Probably be in line. Yeah.
I'll be standing with him just because I got nothing better to do on Thursday night.
And you're a good friend.
Yeah, and I hang out with people. But we are on the eve of JoeCon, and of course, as we're recording this, you'll have already seen the review in the contest by now, but per the contract with FunPub and the JoeCon videos we did, we were granted a box set early to review and to give away.
Yep.
And so Dave and I have been before recording this, poking through the
playing around with it, yeah.
Playing around with it, looking at the figures a little more closely. Really, it's a really nice box set this year. And a lot of people complained and griped about the Tiger Force box set. And upon getting them in my hands, and I'm sure you probably feel the same way, but most of the figures in this set are really, really nice.
They're really well done. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're the only gripe I think we had was the, what's her name?
The head of the Undertows.
Yeah, the Undertow
the
Commander.
Undertow Commander has... She's based on a Baroness mold.
Right.
And the feet are permanently fins.
Right.
Although I don't know, I may swap parts out or something. Give her normal feet. Yeah, she's kind of cool. And it's kind of neat. It's kind of neat that she's an African American.
She is. She's a South African.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, that's what it.
I didn't read the card.
Oh yeah.
I don't think she was part of the previous Mars Attacks set.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think they had Undertows in that one, but they might have.
But some very cool stuff. The elastic on heavy. What's his name? Not heavy metal, but. The guy with the rockets.
I can't think of his name. Heavy metal. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, he's got...
You're confusing me now.
He's got bands on the bottom
of his... instead of the usual plastic sort of straps, he's got like elastic bands.
Yeah.
Which I'm not familiar with the... was the last week that we had Eric on or week before?
A couple weeks ago now.
The week before, he explained that it was based on a thing that came from Duke.
Right.
Which is a Duke I don't have. So I'm unfamiliar if that's just part of the thing, or if that's a special thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's an interesting touch. It's
metal,
unique.
Metalhead.
Metalhead.
I don't know why the heck we were thinking.
I don't know. I kept wanting to say scrap metal, but that's scrap iron, but that's a different guy.
And of course, the paratroopers have the big paratrooper. They've got the legs of the parachute thing going on, which it really is a nice set. I mean, yeah, some of the Joes are. I mean, most of the bodies and stuff are you know. They have to use existing molds, and they're basically...
Well, but they have to. I mean,
yeah.
If you're expecting an entirely new figure, then you're in the wrong...
Well, let's put it this way. I got a chance to meet and talk with Brian Savage, the head of FunPub and JoeCon, and we were kind of discussing some of the woes from this year and discussing...
That was a long conversation.
Yeah, discussing some of the venomous hatred... that was leveled towards them this year,
and especially got personal too.
Yeah, especially when it comes to the pricing of the box set this year and the different extras, as everything is in a different price category. One, because this isn't Night Force, to quote Brian, it's not Night Force. It's it's Tiger Force. So there's it's not like they skimped on paint apps on these guys. I mean, they're I'm looking at... I know it's not Beachhead. What is his name?
Oh, Wreckage?
Wreckage. I'm looking at Wreckage and just looking at the different... for the most part, all of them have the yellow and black.
He's the one that caused me to dub it Battle Cat Force.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of paint apps on these characters on their... General Mayhem, his coat has... It's not like they left anything really unpainted.
It's not your average Hasbro.
No, it is all very
detailed. Speaking of this guy that just picked up some more 4-inch Hasbro Age of Ultron figures, these things have paint on them.
Yeah, exactly.
And it makes a world of difference.
So I think when it's all said and done, I think people are going to be very happy with the convention set with the extras this year, even without
the
price.
Did you get to see the...
No, I have not. I have not. I did not get a sneak peek at all.
So I mean, I figured you wouldn't be able to say it on the air. But
no, I did.
You could have always told me.
Yeah, no, I did not get to get an advance.
Well, and some of it was also that they, part of the cost issue was that they had to airlift everything because air freight everything because they were worried about the dock strike.
And apparently the airlifting had very little reflecting on the price of the overall.
Really?
Yeah, very little.
See, that would have given them a lot of slack on that because that's usually really hideously expensive. And I think that was probably the better thing than to just have nothing.
Right.
And have everybody sort of fill
up. I mean, the box set itself wasn't that much more expensive than it's been in the past. Am I correct?
The box set, I think, was exactly the same.
Yeah. It's all the vehicles and stuff that are more because, again, vehicles and paint apps cost a lot of money.
When there's at least one additional vehicle that we're all assuming is a Tiger Force Eagle Hawk.
Yes.
You know, but it's a big vehicle.
They said it's a big vehicle.
That's in addition to the other stuff that would be comparable to... People have run the math, and it really isn't that ridiculously out of proportion to what they paid last year.
No, or the year before, really.
Well, yeah.
So,
but people are just like, you see the $600 price sticker
eyes
bug out.
Yeah, well, and I think...
And then the other thing, I don't know, did they talk about the parachute controversy?
No.
Because that got ugly.
Yeah, and that got...
Because the Golden Ticket people, like, lost their mind.
Well, and the Golden Ticket, for people that don't know, the Golden Ticket people, and I think we might have discussed this on the show before, but the Golden Ticket holders are able to buy three of everything in the store.
Well, let's start back with normal attendees, club members, can only buy one of everything in the store.
And correct.
Part of the advantage of the Golden Ticket, A, you get to go to the shop first and get your stuff ahead of everybody else. So you don't have to really wait in the line. And then B, you get to buy three of everything. So what people do, a lot of people do, is they'll buy extras and sell them and try to
recoup their costs.
Recoup their costs. And then other people, and this came up in the thread about there are other people that like pool their resources with other fans
who
maybe aren't going or whatever,
right?
So that you're guaranteed an item,
right?
There were a couple of people that were in that situation where they had gone in with two other friends to go pay for the Golden Ticket, and then they were supposed to get stuff for them, but because of various issues with the parachute drop, they're not going to do a drop, and they're going to sell them in the store, and they limited even to Golden Tickets one per person, and the Golden Ticket people were not happy.
Which, here's the thing. Let's put it this way.
Even then, they're saying that everybody might not get one.
And not everyone gets a parachute drop figure to begin with.
Well, everyone's gonna, especially after last year, everyone who can buy one is going to at least buy one.
Right.
Because last year, it was really... That was one of the hard-to-get items and one of the ones that everybody wanted. Partly because it was supposed to be for the year before.
The set
from the year before. And I guess there had been an issue, so they substituted a Creo.
Yep.
That was kind of crummy because, of course, the one that I don't go to has a figure that completes a set that I got.
Right.
That was poopy.
But
I paid for that sucker.
Well, but here's the thing. It's like they addressed it. There's only, 100 gold ticket holders?
There are only 100 gold ticket holders.
Okay, here's the thing. The gold ticket holders that are pissed, there's only 100 of them. It's a very small minority, and they're going anyway. They're mad because in the after effect, after they discovered, after everything went on sale, then the club discovers
we can't do
the parachute drop like we want. We're going to have to sell the figure in the store. But in order to give everyone a chance, we're going to limit them to one, which is, in my mind, for the club is fair. It's very fair for them to go, look, we want to give everyone a chance to get this figure, so everyone is limited to one figure per purchase.
And my thing is, it's not like you weren't going to not get a golden ticket if you couldn't get three parachute guys.
And that's what the people are like, you should have told this before. And it's like, well, they didn't know before. I think the biggest frustration I've seen and I've watched since all of this, for me, since all of this began and it's become more and more of a thing, is it's in the end, it's a toy show. And I understand there's that small minority of people that are just ravenous and venomous and purely cultist to a degree of the product they get, because they look at it not, they're like, oh, it's not a toy, it's a collectible.
Yeah,
well,
whatever.
At the end of the day, it's a friggin' toy. I mean, honestly, and if people listening to this, going to JoeCon, disagree with me, then by all means tell me you disagree and explain to me why, because I don't see you're going anyways. You're going to get what you want. You're getting a box set. If you got a gold ticket, you're getting three of everything else, and you're going to get a parachute figure. So
were a handful of people, and I think it's a very small percentage of golden ticket people who did a deal with somebody else, right. So their buddies are kind of screwed. But again, it's only one item. Now I get that it was one of the hot items last year,
right?
But they'll get one of everything else, you know, your buddies.
And my thing goes back to, even in years past, not everyone has been able to get a parachute drop figure. It's not like they make one for every attendee, because usually they throw them off the roof and it's a mad scramble for everyone to get one.
And they sell some in the store afterwards.
Yeah, but. So it's not like it's, you know, I don't know. To me, it's nothing new. It's like, okay, so now you get to buy them, but you can only buy one. I'm like, now you don't have scalpers pushing kids out of the way to get parachute drop figures so they can sell them at tables.
Oh, well, from what I heard, what it was last year, it was kids run up and go, huh, you can buy this toy at my daddy's table.
Yeah.
I mean, they actually had the dealers had their kids run up and snatch stuff.
Yeah, so that's probably the majority of the golden ticket holders are also dealers. And
the whole What's on Joe Mind crew this year are golden ticket guys.
Right, right.
To be fair.
Right.
Although God, I mean, I appreciate that God so cut me, you know, let me buy some stuff from him, but he didn't cut me a lot of didn't make a lot of bargains on that one.
No.
So, but yeah, and part of it's also there's a risk. I mean, I've got a complete set of Nightforce stuff still sitting around my house that, you know, because I went golden ticket in Indianapolis,
right?
Because back then I had a lot of money and I was like, you know, why not do it and try to offset my cost? Well, you know, it depends on the set, depends on the item, and.
Yep, you've been sitting on that set for 2 years now.
I've been sitting on that set for 2 years.
Yeah.
And apparently I will sit on it forever, but whatever.
Hey, man.
I might just crack some of them open at this point, because there's stuff that I have still in the package, and it's like, why not just crack them open and play with them?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if, you know. But yeah, JoeCon, it's very exciting. You know, I
honestly, I'm to the point, I'm so tired. It's like, it's just been, with all the problems and all the negativity, and then, you know, and frankly, the stuff that we did, which was cool, but it was a lot of work. Like, I'm like, I just kind of want to put this in the rearview mirror, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, I want to have a good time. And
oh, yeah. We'll
and I'm looking forward to, you know, it's interesting because it seems like the panels are more split up this year than I remember.
Yeah, they are.
I always said that they were on Sunday or Saturday. Now they're split up all over the place.
Now they're on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. Well, and Sunday, because What's on Joe Mind panel is Sunday.
It's Sunday, yeah. There are some interesting panels happening this year.
I really want to catch the Action Force one. I missed it in Indy.
And that is, the Action Force one should be really good. Let me get to that. I meant to bring that schedule up while we were talking tonight.
Well, you didn't. You have failed.
Yeah, I know.
You have failed!
Shut up, puppet. Friday, there's starting at 10 a.m. There is the G.I. Joe Behind the Lines with Frank Cornelius. From 11 to 11:50, there is the G.I. Joe Film Fest. From 12 to 12:50, there is the 12-inch G.I. Joe Rarities, which we will be filming.
Will we?
Yes, we will, because I want to go to that.
Interesting.
Yep. There will be the G.I. Joe Collector Club magazine and comics Q&A at 1 to 1:50 with Collector Club editors David Lane and our buddy Pete Sinclair. The exhibit hall opens at 2 p.m. that day.
Looking forward to that.
Yep.
Because that's also the dealer hall.
Right, right. Those are really the only panels on Friday. Saturday's panels are the from 10 to 10:50, Introducing the Special Action Force and the Red Shadows by David Tree.
Want to see it.
The 11 to 11:50 is the Hasbro Band panel, the Hasbro Brand panel.
That'll be one to go to.
Yeah, we'll be filming that. We'll be filming the Special Action Force one, I believe.
You're the guy filming it?
Yeah, well.
I believe. I don't know. Maybe. Got to run it through management.
No. From 1 to 1:50, the Art of G.I. Joe with our buddy Robert Atkins and Adam Riches.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yep. From 2 to 2:50, the Kindle Words Writers with Justin Bell, Bill Nedrow, and Troy Osgood.
Justin is a regular at What's on Joe Mind.
He is a regular on What's on Joe Mind, and I actually got a text from him today because he is handing over all of Slick McFavorite's convention stuff to me for me to ship.
Okay.
So, apparently I'm like special mission boy this year.
Apparently, well, I feel bad. Slick sent me a text, and I never got back to him, or a message on Facebook. I never got back to him, because at the time, I didn't know if I was getting the additional set.
I gotcha.
And I think gotcha. By the time I knew, he had other... So I'm sorry, Slick. My bad.
The from 7:30 to 11 is the awards dinner, the costume contest, and the live auction. A lot of these are only like Saturday and Sunday are there are general admission, but all of the panels, from what I understand, do not general admission does not include those panels.
Really?
You have to be.
You have to be a member?
Yeah, I believe so. I could be wrong this year. They may open it up, but
I don't know. That's weird. I don't know why you wouldn't.
Sunday, there are some panels. Sunday is from 10 to 10:50 is the Carving Joes Making a Real American Hero with Chris Murray, Patrick Stewart, and others, which sounds like a really cool, you know, very, very, very cool G.I. Joe panel. The What's on Joe Mind panel is from 11 to 11:50 with the What's on Joe Mind staff, which, I don't know. We may or may not crash.
Because you don't want to be there on Sunday.
I don't know yet.
He's got other plans. He's got better friends to hang out with on Sunday. No, true. I know what your plans are for Sunday.
No, those plans are canceled.
Those plans, what's the matter? He doesn't... See, that's what you get.
They have enough help. Those plans
that's,
are
That's what enough. You get when you start chasing after, like, new people.
I see how it is. Huh?
Like...
I've
always been here for you.
From 1 to 1:50 on Sunday is G.I. Joe Costuming with our good friend Dez.
Yeah, that's cool.
She'll be running that. Then the convention closes at 3:30 for the year on Sunday.
Wait, isn't there a panel with Kirk Bogosian? I may have completely...
There are autographs with Kirk Bogosian.
I thought he was giving a lecture on, like, marketing.
Did I miss that? Hold on, I think I missed that
panel. Because I think that one was getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah. Hold on, let me go back up. I did miss that. Where'd it go? Oh, there is. From noon to 12:50 on Saturday, there is G.I. Joe Marketing Warfare with Kirk Bogosian.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a good one.
Yeah, so...
And then, wait, there should be a Hasbro... There should be the club panel to talk about like what the new FSS figures are going to be.
I didn't see.
And there should be a Hasbro panel to tell us. You know, I thought that was the whole thing. Is Hasbro going to tell us?
That's what I mean. We discussed the from 11 to 11:50 on Saturday the Hasbro brand panel with the G.I. Joe team.
Oh, okay. For some reason I thought you said something different.
Mm-mm.
My bad.
I don't know about the.
No, they always have that panel because that's where they tell you what the. Subscription, membership figure is.
Well, Saturday from 3 to 3:50, the G.I. Joe Club Roundtable.
That's probably it.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good schedule of events going on.
That the Hasbro one should be a good one. Yeah, because you said we're going to film that. Yeah. We will.
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious to see. I guess Thursday at 9 p.m. they put up the message board and room-to-room trading info.
Yeah,
I've never seen that happen. I'm kind of curious just to. Go from room to room and see what's going on.
I never actually went from room to room. Hung out on the Star Joe's room.
Yeah.
Which was...
Interesting.
It was interesting. Yeah, I feel for Robert Atkins.
Well, this year he doesn't have to stay with him.
Him, yes. I imagine he would be happy
He goes home in the evening.
Yeah, that's so probably for the best. Love you, Chuck, but man...
No, it looks like it'll be fun. I'm very much looking forward to JoeCon. I think it'll be a very good time. So that'll be a lot of fun. The G.I. Joe rarities one is what I'm looking for because Ace Allgood.
That's interesting.
Ace will be lecturing on identifying rare and hard to find items for vintage 12-inch Joes. See rare items from his personal collection as well as photos and discuss some of the holy grails of the 12-inch Joe collecting line. To me, that's very interesting because that's history.
I'm not saying it's not. It's interesting to me that you're interested because you're not really that interested in Joe's. Although, like you just said, it's history. So
David Trees, the special action force in the Red Shadow.
That one I want to go to because I really wish I had caught it in Indy. I don't know if it's the same one, but I really wish I'd caught that one.
David Tree takes a retrospective look at Action Force, the UK version of G.I. Joe, and their deadly enemy, the Red Shadows. Taking a look at their history, development, and influences, this panel will provide you with a chance to see the differences, unique vehicles, main characters, and also concepts that never made it to production.
That sounds an awful lot like the one that they had at Indy.
Yeah, well,
which is cool, because I missed it. Yeah. No, I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
That's not a complaint, that's a hooray! Second chances.
Let's see the What's on Joe Mind Live 2015 panel. Mike, guys. Free Rip Irizarry, Justin, Master Apologist Bell, and Gary, Mouth of Doom Godsup. Oh, there's cats fighting outside our window.
Hey.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, that's the What's on Joe Mind panel.
Oh, that is the What's on Joe Mind panel. I gotcha.
Basically. Would this be the blanket the dog's eating on?
Probably. Yeah, that was the JoeCon panel, actually. It was happening outside my window.
Yeah, it was. What's on Joe Mind. Guess they got in town early.
Yes, they did. Oh, man. No, but there's lots of other great stuff. I mean, the boss fight guys are going to be there in the dealer hall.
Looking forward to it. We'll get a good look at all the Vitruvian hacks. Wave one.
Yep. First time we'll be able to get our hands on them.
Ooh, can we touch them?
We can. We're apparently we'll be able to touch them. All right, well,
this is, guess what?
Huh?
You've got a job now.
Oh, I've got a job now.
Your job.
Am I to distract them?
To distract them, yes.
Why? You're going to have a big old box of them showing up in like a month.
I don't know. It's like a million years from now.
Or 3.5 weeks from now.
I don't think it was that soon.
Well, it's probably sooner than we think.
But I don't think it's that, because they've got to get the Marauder stuff done first.
No, well...
No, that's the whole thing. Like I don't remember if we talked about that on the show or not last week, but the same factory does Marauder stuff as doing the Vitruvian hack stuff, and that's what the holdup is they're trying to fix the stuff for the Marauders.
I got you.
And at the same time, actually, you know, kind of make sure that it doesn't repeat on their things.
Right.
But they have to do the Marauder stuff first, and then they can do theirs.
So that's, I got that's what you. Well, the Marauder stuff should be pretty close to being done by now, I would think.
You would think.
So, not a lot of toy news this week. It's kind of a slow week. I did
a lot of toys coming out though.
Yeah, a lot of stuff is hitting, which is kind of cool. But I did notice. I better leave that up. I did notice that starting Friday, you can actually buy the Star Wars digital movie collection of all 6 films for $89.99. And apparently, from what everyone's saying, these are not the original trilogy is not the special edition. They are the original. These are the film. These are the versions that were supposed to come out, and then George said they were lost.
Put them on the DVDs.
They're coming.
I will buy them on the Blu-rays and the DVDs.
They're coming, but first they figured we've got them ready. Let's just launch it. And they come with I believe they come with the all of the films, and the set itself has special features, which is kind of cool.
Special features, not those ordinary features.
So,
see, movies like Ghostbusters and Back to the Future would have ordinary features, but Star Wars is better, has special features.
Yeah, although people are angry saying it's a ripoff because these are just digital versions. Well, yeah, that's
That's
what the digital movie collection is pretty much
really
what it means. There, peeps.
People are stupid.
Yeah, but I thought that was kind of neat. I'm like, well, good. I'm glad Disney is, you know.
Oh, I think Disney was pretty upfront that they're like, yeah, we're going to release the unaltered ones.
Yeah.
In a nice version, because we don't have an emotional attachment to all that garbage.
No. There's a ton of deleted, like episode the Phantom Menace. There's a bunch of deleted scenes.
See, I thought all that crap was on features. The. Okay.
I don't think a lot. Some of this was. I don't think some. See, of I don't it know where all this Blu-rays. Missing
stuff because I know that most of the stuff for Star Wars has shown up one place or the other.
Well, and I know one of the new documentaries they released is might be on the Phantom Menace. Is that they something?
Because they even put a bunch of those scenes back in the Phantom Menace in the DVD version. Yeah, that's why I bought a DVD player.
Something about the
back in the day.
One of the extras is something about the costumes. And they finally put to rest the argument on whether or not Han's costume on Hoth was blue or gray, because they brown.
No, the thing is, the actual costume. It looks different in person than it does on film.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Is on film it looks blue, in person it looks brown.
So,
and brown is wrong. Brown is wrong. It's heretical.
It's heretical.
Don't make me fatwa you.
So yeah, the digital, anyone who's wanting nice, legit digital copies of those films, it's not a bad price for, I mean, yeah, if you're going to pay it and then like 6 or 8 months down the road, it's going to come out again on Blu-ray for the same price, then that's kind of dumb. But it's nice that Disney's making them available in this format though.
Yeah, I mean, I got no beef against it. So long as they make the hard copies available too, that's all I want.
Yeah.
I'll buy them.
And also starting Friday is Daredevil. Yeah, Daredevil starts on Netflix, and I've seen people, they sent advanced season copies to some of the bigger review sites, and they've already reviewed it and said it's very dark and very good.
We've discussed maybe hanging out and splitting a pizza and watching it.
Yep. So they have said that it's very dark and very good.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm very excited for that. This last week was to... Have we had a Flash since we talked? Yeah, last episode of Flash
the last episode of Flash aired as we were recording.
Yeah.
And it was the Mark Hamill episode.
Yeah, it was
the
Mark Hamill episode, which was amazing.
It was fantastic. I mean, it was almost too good. They were like there was an A plot and a B plot, and they were both so good.
Yeah.
Because usually one's kind of meh, and the other's really good.
Yeah. But,
like, they were both so good, it was like two great episodes. There wasn't enough time for both of them,
No. And we know the Trickster's going to come back. So.
He has to come back.
Because I don't remember, did they catch them at the end?
Yes.
Yeah.
Flash caught them at the end.
Yeah. So... Ah, it was a good episode. It was wonderful. And oh, some it was great.
And they actually used like footage from the original Flash show.
Yes, yes. So they did some cool stuff.
They did a lot of little fanboy. There was some fun fanboy things.
Yeah, there was a lot of fan service in there.
Hamill,
which was
nice. Especially in those early scenes where he's kind of in the Hannibal Lecter mode.
Yeah,
he was channeling Joker.
Oh yeah,
absolutely channeling Joker.
Yeah. But this past weekend was Kamikaze.
Okay.
In California, and sure. They showed off a sizzle reel for the rest of the season of Flash, including a bunch of scenes we haven't seen yet. And one of them was really cool because it was Wells in the jail.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah. I was like, "Oh, sweet mother."
Well, okay, spoiler alert.
Well, we know. Well, we kind of know that's how it's going to end eventually.
That's how that's how I thought it was going to end, but then like last week they had that opening bit where the Reverse Flash takes off his hood.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and it's like
So I'm not going to like I don't give this show I love the show because it doesn't always do what I expect it to do.
Right. And I get a good feeling that season two, you're still going to have that dynamic of Wells and Barry.
I always figured it would
be
a Hannibal Lecter thing.
Yeah.
That's how they could do it. You know, if they reveal his identity, which apparently they're going to.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's really the only way you can keep that dynamic going.
Yeah. Good thing. And then, you know, it looks like the final battle is going to end up being Barry and...
Ollie and Firestorm,
which is kind of neat. So, kind of cool.
Kind of hoping we shuffle Firestorm off to.
You just don't like the character, do you?
I'm not a fan.
No,
I'm not a fan. I just really shoot fire. Oh wow, that's kind of hard to be really heroic when all you do is shoot destructive.
Human Torch did it.
I'm not a big fan of Human Torch.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Poor Dave.
Yeah, ship them all off to the Hawkwoman, Adam. Although, I still don't like that they're including Captain Cold and Heatwave in that show.
As the villains or as part of
I don't
of
know.
The...
I have no idea. Nobody knows anything.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. The spinoff show is what we're discussing. The
yeah, like there's
the
no
Flash
name.
Arrow spinoff that doesn't have a name yet.
Yeah, but it's got the Atom. It's got half of Firestorm, Victor Garber.
Yep.
It's got Captain Cold and Heatwave. It's got Hawkwoman. It's got Rip Hunter. Rory is Rip Hunter.
Yep.
Which is, right now, for me, the coolest thing about that show.
Yes.
Rory from Doctor Who. I think we discussed this last week.
Yeah. Show. And we did hear that, speaking of Doctor Who, that the BBC announced that we will have Doctor Who at least until, for at least another 5 more years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is wonderful. I know I didn't think people were, you know, like, people know it's not going to just vanish because it's still a huge hit
for
BBC.
Well, it did.
Well, but it's still a huge hit for BBC and BBC
America.
This last
weekend was 10 years? Like it was an anniversary for when they brought it back.
Right, right,
Easter,
right.
They brought it back on Easter.
Yeah.
So
and, the new Doctor
has been huge.
Yeah, the new Doctor has been accepted pretty well, I believe.
I like him. I just wish that... I think the season was weak. But I like him as the Doctor.
Yeah, I do too.
So I'm hoping he gets a little more traction this season.
Yeah, it looks like his outfit changes a little this next season.
Yeah.
They've shown some pictures of him. He's got...
it was changing by the end of the last season. He was kind of ditching that magician look and being
well,
a
he's
more...
Well, he's still got that coat, but I guess he's wearing like Third Doctor pants, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw a picture of it and I was like,
that's
interesting.
Okay, the third Doctor was a little bit of a dandy.
Was that John... No, not... Who was which one was Petrie?
Petrie was second.
Was it the second? Pants. That's the one I'm thinking of as a second. So yeah, it's just cool that Doctor Who we're gonna get another 5 years of Who, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
So they're filming the new season as we speak.
You know, I'm always down for the Who.
Yeah, and Deadpool is filming as we speak in Vancouver.
That's amazing. That story's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That I don't even know how that got started. It was just like Ryan Reynolds, like, you know. I'd still like to do Deadpool. And then suddenly the movie's made.
Well, what happened was that last year during Comic-Con...
I know, they showed the
Fox themselves released that footage.
Yeah.
And on purpose. Like, they released it on purpose to see what would happen. And the fans grabbed a hold of it and gravitated towards it and were like, if you make a movie like this, we will see it.
No.
And, of course, they teased us with it for a little while, and then they greenlit it, and then Ryan Reynolds said, yes, it's happening. And then it just kind of built to this crescendo where, you know, I believe... Early last week, he showed off a picture of himself in the full costume.
Yeah.
You know, not your normal, like, because most first looks are all serious and blah, and here he is, like, all sexy laying in a pose.
Well,
in front
it's
of
the
fireplace.
Burt Reynolds. It's the Burt Reynolds pose from Playgirl.
Yes. And then they
on the bearskin rug.
Yes, and then on April Fool's, everyone thought it was a big joke, and then they announced, "Oh no, we're just using April Fool's to tell you, no, this is real. The movie's going to be rated R." Which
I've heard it going back and forth on that, but
it is rated R. It is. It has been. Even the studio came out and said, "No, no, we're going for an R rating. We're not going to tone this down. This is what people want to see. They want to see Deadpool as he's supposed to be. We are going to, because that teaser was definitely rated R."
All right. I never actually saw the teaser.
And there, well, we'll have to see. I'll have to show it to you.
I'm not that huge of.
No, but
I'll go see it.
Yeah, I'm not that huge of a Deadpool fan either. But I'm glad they're finally making this movie because, you know, when Ryan Reynolds first took that role in X-Men Origins,
well, that was the most fascinating thing because before he became quote Deadpool end quote,
right?
He was Deadpool.
Yeah,
he was perfect.
Yeah,
and then they just fudged it up royally at the end. It's like, this is not Deadpool. And how could you have the character so perfect and then completely screw it up at the end?
Yeah, and now they're making up for that and going, look, this is comic accurate Deadpool. The costume looks like the comics, and he
costume looks perfect.
Yeah. Even out of costume, there've been some pictures of Ryan Reynolds in the burned makeup and stuff of Wade Wilson, and it looks just beautiful. So
I don't know if he's burned or just like all creepy and messed up because he's got like cancer, like super cancer or something. Yeah,
so. It looks good, and the little shots they've been showing, they filmed on this bridge in Vancouver. It looks like they're actually filming the teaser that they put together. They're actually filming that sequence. So
that's part of the film.
Yeah,
that's
which kinda is kind of neat. So
that's kind of neat.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's supposed to come out next year. So
well, yeah, I'd imagine that's how it works.
And we're getting close to Avengers.
May 1st.
Yep.
So excited.
That'll be the weekend after. After C2E2 in King County, Dave and I will be sitting in a theater on that Friday evening, probably. Oh, we haven't decided if we're going to do that. I haven't decided if we're going to do the two movies or if we're just going to go wait and just go see.
Oh, okay.
Age of Ultron. Depends on when they show it. If it's
fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I just want to see the new one when it comes down to it.
That's my thing. So I got everything else on. Like I said, we could just do that. We could just do that. At, you know, my house.
Yeah.
Just go through the DVDs and do the whole thing. And then stop after two movies, and then you go home, and then you come back the next day, and you bring a pizza.
Yeah. Why do I always got to bring a pizza? See, you're spoiled now, because I left you pizza the other day.
And you know, that spoiled. Was interesting. Because you have this anti-cheese agenda, and yet, what was in the precious stuffed crust?
Oh, it was cheese.
Oh, it was cheese.
Oh, it was stuffed crust, and it's wonderful.
So I
was working at Pizza Hut when they introduced stuffed crust, and it was the greatest thing ever.
Where didn't you work in this town?
Yeah, good call.
Like every time you're like, I got to work there, I'm like...
Pizza Hut, Hardee's, Meijer's.
I did not remember you worked. You never mentioned Hardee's.
Suncoast. Hardee's was my first job. I got fired from that job.
Well, that's not...
And then years later when I'm working, I was running Suncoast in the mall. When I was managing that store, I also had a part-time job at one of the little kiosks that one of my part-timers was a manager of. So I was his manager, and then at night he was my manager. And I'm working at this kiosk, and the gentleman...
They call that switching.
Yes, I know. The gentleman that had fired me from Hardee's, and I don't remember his name now, but his family owned the Hardee's around town for a long time. And I look over, and this guy's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm going, huh. And then I realized who it was. It was this guy's son that fired me when I was 16 years old, because I had a little bit of peach fuzz. And I came to work with a little bit of peach fuzz. I hadn't even started shaving yet. Like, I wasn't shaving at all. And it wasn't noticeable, really. And the guy took me in the office and then went in the office and in front of everybody, held this razor in front of me, goes, I give you this. He's like, next time you come to work, you're going to shave? And I was like, I guess. And he's like, you know what? You're fired. Get out of my store. And I was like, all right. I just got fired from my first job for something ridiculous. So I'm sitting there and this guy's looking at me and I look over and he gets up and walks over and I realize who he was. And I was like, oh, son of a... He goes, hey, do I know you? And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, you do. I used to work for you. You fired me for not shaving when I was 16 years old. And he goes, yeah, I apologize for that. He's like, I've had some help. I was an ass. And I'm like, all right, then I will sit here and talk to you then.
Yeah, that was kind of cool of him to admit like, that he made him.
I was like, okay. He's like, yeah, I was not a good guy. He's like, I had a lot of problems. I'm like, eh, well, I accept your apology. So that was just kind of funny, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Hilarious.
Yes. Oof, oof. No, but I dog sat for Dave this past Friday, because Dave went to St. Louis.
St. Louis, the Science Center. Every Friday, the first Friday of every month, they do a special kind of event. It wasn't quite as cool as the Star Trek one that I remember, but I guess it's like a recurring thing. Anyway, they take like some element of pop culture, like a big movie,
right?
Like Star Trek, like the Avengers,
yes.
Like Doctor Who, and this time it was Jurassic Park, and yeah. It's you know, so they had lectures on paleontology, and they had movies, yeah. And they had trivia, and you know, they had all, you know, dinosaur themed stuff. They had dinosaur themed food at the commissary,
oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Stegosaurus ribs,
neat.
And I had a good time. My only problem was everything I really wanted to do was all at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
It was like trivia was at 7, the lecture I really wanted to go to was at 7:30, and then the movie I really wanted to see was at 8. So I had to kind of give up on the movie, and then we hung around for trivia for a little bit. And maybe it was for the best that we didn't, because like, apparently it's been a while since I've actually watched Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
So I was missing questions and getting crap from my friend Brad, who went yep. with me.
But Casey, your dog, had some eye surgery. She still had stitches in. She had to wear a cone when no one was home, and you didn't want to leave her alone.
Well, I didn't want to leave her alone. Yeah, overnight. And I didn't want to put her
in the kennel. Yeah, so I, you know, Dave was like, "Will you come watch my house?" And of course, I'm like, "Yeah, of course." Carrie's like, "Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
get out of my house." I'm like, "Okay, bye. I love you." I went over there and worked on that episode of Board that had to go up like, I don't know, 8 hours, you know. I still hadn't really put together yet. I was like, I should probably get that done. Sit there, Nate, order Pizza Hut, sit there with your dog next to me and watch Netflix. It was a good night.
Cool. Well, you're welcome anytime, dude.
Yes.
I'll try to find excuses to get out of town more often.
Fair enough.
Well, I get, you know, in the middle of the lecture, though, I hear my thing go off, and it's your text tone. I'm like, oh, no!
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's been 2 hours. She finally sat down. I was like, ah.
Yeah, it's like, aw.
So I was glad everything went okay. I just, you know.
Oh,
There's not a lot of people I would have trusted my baby with.
I'm kind of sad that.
What? See, you're distracted. I'm saying something nice about you.
I just got an IM from our friend Des. She just landed for JoeCon.
Okay.
With her and our friend John.
Okay.
From the shoot.
Yes.
And I guess they are going to dinner with David Gall. And we can't go because we have a ridiculous amount of crap to film.
Uh-huh.
Which sucks. So. Oh, well.
We don't have to film anything.
Well, we have to film we have to film the box set sitting in front of us. That has to be done. I have to get that done and ready to go tomorrow. The rest of it, technically, we could do.
I could just take it home and open up and play with it, and you don't have to. We can wait until you get your stuff.
Don't.
Why am I penalized because you want to go hang out with your boyfriend?
I didn't say I wanted to go hang out. I'm just saying they invited us, and we really can't.
Well, they invited you.
Oh, fair enough.
Technically.
Fair enough. Well, what do you say we
Yeah, they invited you.
What do you say we get this? Well, they invited you, too. They said you and David
want
to do dinner with us and David Gall.
Okay, well, I mean, we're Facebook friends. She could have sent a message.
Well, she sent it to me because I had asked her earlier this week when they were landing, when they were going to be in town, just because I was curious, because I was talking. So there. What do you say we answer some fan questions? First one comes from our friend Tristan Alt-Topun.
Wow, I think you punted that one hard.
Yeah, I did, didn't I? Sorry, Tristan. If you guys could make your own monthly subscription box, what would you theme it as, and what kind of items would you want to have in it?
I thought about this a long time. I would like almost like kind of third-party accessories, you know? Stuff for like Transformers, stuff like Marauders, you know, weapon sets, repo labels, just stuff to kind of, you know, like cool stuff to kind of add on to the stuff that you already have.
Yeah,
to me that would be kind of a neat thing.
I agree.
A box set.
I would go with your
subscription.
I would go with your idea. I really don't have one in mind. That they're already doing a My Little Pony one and a vintage My Little Pony one. So
that or like maybe Legos that are like weird colors, like you don't normally see, like weird pastels.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, like normal bricks, but like in unusual colors. That would be a fun one.
That'd be cool. Our friend Joseph Mafai says, if there was one action figure you could wipe from existence, what would it be? Please say Bob the Goon.
Oh, I like Bob the Goon.
I do, too. I like Bob the Goon. I
love Bob the Goon.
It's not a great figure, but it's not something
well, none of them are great figures. None of those Toy Biz Batman figures are particularly good.
I don't know. I like the Batman a lot.
He's okay.
What one figure would you wipe from existence, Dave?
I would wipe the initial Hasbro Marvel Legends Emma Frost.
Oh, yeah.
In the hopes that we got a better version.
Both the regular and the crystal version.
Yeah, I don't know about the crystal version. But I'd wipe her out. And maybe the good one wouldn't just be a impossible to find Big Bad Toy Store exclusive.
Yep. You know what? The one, it's not a figure, it's a line.
Ooh, that's harsh. And yeah, I know what it's going to be, too, I bet.
Do you?
Because you've got a hate on for this one line.
No, no. See. Let's, not Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, wow. Okay. No. Then I don't know.
It'd be the Bandai Thundercats.
Oh.
I would wipe.
You got a hate on for that line, too.
I would whip. I would wipe them completely from existence. Because they did not do any favors for the Thundercats line at all.
No.
Randy RC asks, do you have any autographs in your collection? And if so, what is the coolest one you have? You have a lot of comic book, few.
I have Larry Hama, basically.
You have Mark Bellomo.
Yeah, but he's not a comic book. He's more. I know, it's weird. I think of that as like a signed book. But
yeah.
I have Anthony Daniels. I have Peter Mayhew. I have Larry Hammond. Larry Hammond's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Because I sort of, like, I was at the What's on Joe Mind panel, but my friend, Jerry, managed to get an autograph for him. And it was supposed to say, F He-Man, Yo Joe.
Right.
He just basically put He-Man Trump's, Joe Trump's He-Man.
Yeah.
So.
I actually have.
And it's on the cover of issue 50 of the comic book. Like, I bought a copy of issue 50 specifically to get his autograph.
Yeah.
Which is the issue where they roll into Springfield.
With the sign.
With the sign, over. Welcome to Springfield, kind of off on the corner.
Yeah.
Because I would get that as a poster if I could.
Yep. I actually have Christina Ricci's autograph. Yeah. I have Kirsten Dunst. I have a lot of wrestling autographs from the two times I went to WrestleMania. When I went to 17 and 18 and went to WrestleMania Access in those early days, like, you didn't have to pay extra for autographs. You didn't have to pay these VIP prices. You could just walk up to the tables and get an autograph. So I have a ton of wrestling autographs in my WrestleMania book, along with stuff like, I've got Hillbilly Jim, I've got a Bruce Campbell autograph somewhere. I've got a few, but those are all from my days of either working in the video business when I was managing Suncoast, or just like going to WrestleMania and stuff. So Christina Ricci and Kirsten Dunst ones, I actually sent letters to their agents, and I can tell you if they're actually Christina Ricci or Kirsten Dunst autograph, but they came on headshots, and the ink was.
I know that Anthony Daniels, because I was there when I got both of them.
Right, right.
And it was funny because the guy in front of me, I got Anthony Daniels at a Gen Con.
Right.
The guy in front of me had a Han Shot First T-shirt.
Oh yeah.
And Anthony thought that was the coolest, because at the time it was not a big thing. It was, right. Or it was becoming a big thing.
Becoming a big thing. Yeah.
So he went off to go get a picture with that guy, and I'm like, they came back.
Yeah. Robert Hardefield says, I was wondering if Jason found the real Ghostbuster headquarters yet complete, and Dave, do you collect real Ghostbusters? I think he's asking about the Filmation
Ghostbusters.
I have the real Ghostbusters Firehouse complete as Dave.
As do I. Yes. Yeah.
I have not found the Ghost Command playset from Filmation Ghostbusters, and I, even though I know where I can get one, I cannot afford one. Let's put it that way.
How much do you want for that?
$1,200, I think.
Well, you could have almost afforded that.
A large chunk of change.
But you chose to reinvest that money in the company.
I did, wisely. Very wisely.
I'm not disagreeing, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Choices.
Dave does collect a real Ghostbusters. He does
a little bit. I have a few. I have the Playhouse. I have the Ecto-1. Yeah. I have a few figures.
I know the smallest Ghostbuster line I'd like to buy next is I want the Extreme Ghostbusters stuff. I want the car and I want the figures out of that.
The car looks really cool.
Yeah, the car's really cool. I like some of the figures too. I like.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Sam Hain. I think that's the one you always buy. Everyone's got that.
Yeah, I've got Sam Hain. So, our buddy Brian Brown, who actually is the master and commander of Shellhead Comics and more. Our good sponsor buddy. He's got two questions. He says, are there any big events coming up? I sure wish there was something cool to do this weekend. It's Brian being a jerk.
There's a flower show.
Is there a flower show? We might have to go to the flower show. We'll have to go film the flower show.
Yeah.
Yes, Brian, Joe Con's this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And then his real question is, are there any toy lines you would love to have made are there any toy lines you would love to be made like another line, like Starriers made in a 12-inch scale, etc., Dino Riders made like Micro Machines, etc.?
Well, I think Dino Riders made like a 4-inch modern era.
Yeah. We would just get figures, though.
No, we'd get dinosaurs.
No, we'd
get dinosaurs.
You would be the only one buying them, because they'd be hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
I don't care. Well, they're already hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and people still buy them.
That's
so
true.
So there's clearly a market.
That's true. Ooh, gosh, I don't know if I'd want. I don't know, man. All the lines that I like Starriers and stuff like that, to me are just the perfect scale.
And well, even like, but yeah, because you like the thing for the thing, and I right. like the scale.
Right.
You know? So we come at it from different angles.
Like with RoboForce, I always thought RoboForce figures were big and clunky, and then John Kent did the GLaDOS-compatible ones, and I think those are perfect. I think those are the perfect size. They fit in well with 3¾-inch figures. You know, the big painted Max that was part of the club is going to be really cool and be a nice figure to put into people's displays. So, I don't...
Well, and the other one would be basically just take all of the reaction and give it to Boss Fight.
Yeah, no crap.
Basically.
Just give
it. I was originally going to say, you know, give it to, have it done like Hasbro's, you know, like modern era G.I. Joe. And then I'm like, but that's Boss Fight. That's Boss Fight anyway, so.
Yeah, Boss Fight's...
Just go back and do them all over again.
Yes.
Leave the packaging. Packaging's great. But yeah, do all the figures over.
Yeah, do all the figures over. Jason Metzger says, if you could move any major character to a different line, who would it be?
I had an answer for this too. I had answers for everything. I was prepared.
Yes.
I don't remember now.
More prepared than I ever am.
I know. Well, I always read the questions beforehand.
I do too, but I never think of an answer. I just browse through the questions.
I had an answer, but I can't remember what it was now.
Man, any major character. I don't know. You know, I always wanted to see the Brave Star Masters crossover that never happened, because Brave Star was supposed to be originally a part of Masters of the Universe. It's actually in some of the earliest Bibles. You know, I would have loved to have seen that crossover, but that would have been nice to see Brave Star part of He-Man. I think that would have been interesting.
You know, I wouldn't mind, because I think Skeletor is a cool design. I wouldn't mind him as a G.I. Joe.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
That'd be a cool figure.
That'd be cool. Yeah, beyond that, I don't know, man. I'd like to see Rainbow Bright and My Little Pony crossover.
Of course you would.
Yeah, well, you know. That's just me, though. Ben Fink says, what vintage toy lines had your favorite box art?
I like G.I. Joe. I think it's got really great art, but absolutely my favorite is vintage Star Wars. I just love that they were the actual toys with the actual toys.
Yeah.
And, you know, the actual figures with the actual toys, and they're posed in little imaginary scenes. That to me was the coolest thing, you know, because even the G.I. Joe stuff, it was very cool, it was very evocative, but it was, you know, it was this sort of fantasy thing. Whereas they were the actual, I don't know.
I think overall, I think when it really comes down to it, if I had to say what the overall best packaging art for any toy line of the 80s vintage would be, is Masters. And it's just because Mattel, there was so much, like the pictures on the back were never pictures of the figures. Those were all hand-painted versions of the actual action figures. And the top of all the cards had these nice, amazing, like, you know, imaginative hand, you know, the painted scenes of the characters in action against another character. And
wow, I mean, Transformers had that. Yeah, Joe.
Not to the degree Masters had it, though, man.
I disagree.
You know, look at the box art for, like, Castle Grayskull and Snake Mountain, and even going on down the line to Eternia. I mean, they were amazing to look at, and they're beautiful, beautiful, beautiful pieces of artwork. So, and I've seen some of that artwork in person, the original artwork, and it's very beautiful in person, too. So, but that's what I would have to go towards. And then, you know, going down the line, Star Wars and then G.I. Joe. In my mind, those are my top three.
Yeah.
Alex Pasquale says, we mostly come here for the love of toys, but also for the general nostalgia too. Having just read the Nickelodeon Super Toy Run retrospective article that Dean Schaefer shared on the fan group, if you haven't seen it yet, it was really a good read. It flooded me with many feelings and memories of being a kid in the 80s and 90s. I know there might be a discrepancy in everyone's age at that time, but is there anything in particular to that era that resonates with you when reflecting back to those times? Anything from the clothes to the TV, the commercials, pop culture, to the way we played and interact with each other, or even the different world we lived in?
You know, for me it was the music. Like,
yeah,
I love 80s music.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of it's really probably technically garbage, but I love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it, everything from the 80s. I mean, I just I borrowed a book from you this past weekend.
Yeah.
That was printed in 2011, and I just now gotten, like, both of us are just now getting around to going, man, we should probably read that. Mostly cuz Spielberg just
No, my friend Brad actually. I've had that sitting on my table for like a month.
Really?
Because my friend Brad, who I went to St. Louis with, recommended that.
Yeah. So I borrowed it from you on Saturday.
Yeah.
And by Sunday afternoon, it was done.
You were done.
I was done.
Like, wow.
I devoured that book, and everything about that book is 80s. I mean, it takes place in 2044, but everything about that book is part of a big Easter egg, a big video game Easter egg, and everything resonates back to the 80s, to that decade.
Yeah.
And again, we've talked about my love for 80s toys and about how, you know, you've always said it doesn't matter if it's boys or girls. If it's anything 80s, then I'm probably going to collect it. Yeah, for me. The 80s were a really, really special time for me as a kid. I mean, we didn't have a lot of money. You know, we Christmases and birthdays were really special to me. Easter was kind of special to me because I always got an Easter basket that had toys in it, which was kind of cool. So, you know, everything about that decade, and it's not for like you, it's music, but for me, it's everything.
Well, I mean, he from, wanted from one commercials specific thing. To the now the, you're being like, for I'm, you, it's just music.
No, I know,
nothing
no,
else.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that for me, it was a lot of different things that still, you know, that hold a special place in my heart. And the 90s as well, because the 90s, you know, I was growing up, I was a teenager, a lot of cool things. I got to witness happen in the 90s, you know, the Casper film, which I'm a big fan of, the Casper live action movie, the Power Rangers movie, the Power Rangers rise to popularity was kind of cool to witness, as a semi-adult, you know, in my teenage years, and to see what I initially kind of watched every day and eventually was like, this is not really a good show, like just suddenly take off into the stratosphere. And it's like, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at the walls of my house and it's all 80s movies.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I said music because, I mean, I was picking on that as a specific thing that kind of takes me back. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, I was 9 years old in 1980. I was 19 in 1989. Yeah. Or 18 in 1989. You know, that was kind of my childhood to my teenage years to going off to college.
Right.
Started with Empire Strikes Back, ended with Batman.
Right.
You know, in between you had Wrath of Khan, you had Star Trek IV, you had Aliens, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that you know... WKRP in Cincinnati, St. Elsewhere, Hill Street Blues. I love that. I think there's a reason that 80s nostalgia has kind of hung around as long as it has. I think that was kind of an amazing decade, and we've kind of talked about this, even in terms of G.I. Joe, that there was a real sense in the country that, you know, America was kind of awesome. I mean, America was cool, and we were like the world leader, and we were great, and it was wonderful to be an American. And
yeah.
And then the 90s, it was all feel bad, and now it's just like, we suck. Iran's better than us. We're terrible.
Yeah,
we should just crawl in a hole and die.
The 80s were a wonderful, wonderful time.
I mean, the 80s, yeah. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, man, give me some big hair on a woman, and I'm like, hello.
Yep. Jeffrey David Green says, Dave Draper, if you were a D&D character, what would you be? Please choose your race, class, alignment, and assign yourself tributes. Then feel free to do the same for me.
Okay, I'm not going to go into that much detail, but I definitely, despite the fact that I'm a big guy, I would be a halfling, because they just like to kind of hang out and eat.
True.
I think I would be a fighter, because I'm too lazy to be a magic user, I'm too irreligious to be a cleric, and I'm too clumsy to be a thief.
All true.
So, and I wouldn't be a particularly high level fighter because I'm not that good at it. But I'm, you know, but yeah, I would be a halfling. Jason would be a half elf.
Oh, I'm pretty, yeah,
kind of
fugly.
And I think
I'm an outcast of my own.
You would
race.
Be. I don't know if you'd be a thief. But you'd be a rogue.
Ooh, would I be a dashing rogue?
No.
Dang it.
No.
I always secretly wanted to be Han Solo and never.
Maybe
could
Danny
be.
Was a half elf because he was multi class.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
There you go. Dang
yeah,
it.
But that's about as close as I'm going to...
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Jake Hoover says, question for both of you guys. What was your favorite cartoon series as a kid, and do you currently have a favorite series? Let's see. Age demographic is not a requirement for either answer. Love the show and all the members of the Toy World Order family, even that Lego-eating fuzzball puppet Duvall.
Well, he doesn't eat Legos anymore.
No, he does not. He went cold turkey.
That is... The one issue, not issue, but one, I think, hang-up I have that we've gone family-friendly is I always have to, like, because it's not just language. You have to stop and think about, you know.
Right.
Should he be eating Legos? Because kids might eat Legos. Right. Like, I wanted to do a thing where he went in the professor mode, he had the pipe. And the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, well, even though he doesn't actually smoke it, and blah, 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 it's still a tobacco product.
Yeah.
It's still a bad message for the kid. So,
yep.
Always have to, like, that's always a little hard to remember who our target audience is supposed to be. I'm just saying. For me, it was Thunder the Barbarian, probably as a kid. I loved it as
a kid. Choice.
Yeah. Now, but I loved
it. Yeah, not so much.
And then, I think if I had a favorite animated series right now, it'd probably be Adventure Time.
There you go.
It's a really good show.
My favorite as a kid, I had so many, but if I had to pick one out, I was a big fan of Inspector Gadget. Big fan of Inspector Gadget. I loved that show to death. And these days, the only animated show I can tell you that I'm actually currently watching is the Netflix original series Inspector Gadget. So it kind of went full circle, because I don't have a lot of other cable channels, so I can't watch stuff on Cartoon Network or...
Well, I mean, you could have said, like, Bob's Burgers or
Family Guy. Yeah, you know, but I like... Yeah, currently, but yeah, I'm a big fan of Bob's Burgers. I was watching that earlier today on my lunch. I was watching Bob's Burgers and cracking up, because even though I've seen them all, same with kind of like Archer. I'm a big fan of Archer.
Yeah,
I love the heck out of that show. I think it's the most ridiculous animated show I've ever seen, and it makes me smile just because those characters are so...
It gets depressing to me after a while. They're just such losers.
Yeah, they are.
Like, I don't know. I don't like that.
But there's something very endearing about them being losers, though.
But they had an episode where, like, you really started to feel for Archer, and then it's like, but he's just stuck in this loop of being a loser. I'm like, I don't like this. Don't make me feel for these guys. You didn't let me laugh at them or, like, do something to redeem them, but don't...
Fair enough.
Well, it was one where he was, like, born, and you kind of see just how he never had a... You know, his mom was so cold. And the butler guy was, like, the only person who's ever really cared for him.
Yep.
It was just like, I don't want to be sad watching this stupid show.
He's like, dang it.
I don't like that.
Oh, man. Good old Archer.
Yeah. Whatever.
Now, I was watching this last season of Archer. It's been on Netflix, and I think I've watched it once already on Netflix, but I watched it again, and it just cracks me up because Pam... They become cocaine dealers, so they're dealing the drug cocaine, and Pam gets addicted to cocaine, and she's, like, eating cocaine muffins and cocaine Mentos, and it's just like... Everyone's like, how have you not had a heart attack yet? And she's like, I know, right? Oh, my gosh. Good stuff. Camus Clark, our good Canadian buddy, he says, hey, guys, what villain HQ would you love to see made for your existing figures out there in the market for other toy lines or other toy lines that you collect past and present?
It's kind of an interesting question because there aren't really that many villain play sets, really, if you think about it. There's the Snake Mountain.
Right.
There's the Terradrome. There's the Technodrome. I'm sure you can come up with one or two more. I mean, there's like the Fright Zone.
Yeah.
There's Cobra Mountain, which sucks.
Yeah, the Cobra Mountain's pretty crappy.
There's the Death Star, which is kind of a cool little playset back in the day.
Yeah, Death Star was neat. I don't know, man. Enemy Headquarters that I'd want to see today. Trying to think. There was a... No, I'm just... there was a big one that I know we never got. The Skeleton Warriors, the castle that we never got, which wouldn't have been that great to begin with, but it would have been cool to get it.
That whole line was just nothing but broken dreams.
Darkseid's...
I don't think he was asking stuff that didn't get made.
Well, but that's what I'm thinking. When I think enemy play sets, I'm thinking of stuff that I'm like, man, I would have loved to have seen that and see it in today's marketplace. But yeah, like... The Savage Strike Headquarters from Rambo would be cool to see on the shelves today, just because that thing is huge. But yeah, like Snake Mountain.
I never liked Snake Mountain. Yeah, like I never liked the big derpy witch face on the side of the thing.
Yeah, the Fright Zone. Yeah, it would be a cool one.
I would go with, because I figure everyone expects me to say the Terradrome, but I would actually go with the Technodrome. I think that would be that would be an interesting toy to see a modern update.
Modern update of, yeah. And it'd be a very big playset, too, which would be cool. So we thought the Sewer Home playset was a big playset. The Technodrome wouldn't be as tall, but it would probably rival it in this day and age. So cool stuff. Very cool stuff. Well, guys, there you go. That's going to wrap up fan questions for us this show. And as Dave and I head off into the weekend to JoeCon, of course, you'll see a lot of coverage from us this weekend, which will be fun. We're going to do some fun stuff as well as some serious stuff. We're going to do some silly stuff. So We've got some plans for the weekend. Puppet DeVall is going to do some interviews.
What?
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Have we talked to his agent about that, John and or Leonard?
John and or Leonard. Never trust a man with two first names. Mm.
I'll wait till he interviews Benjamin Scott Spencer.
Oh, yes, yes. He will go caca crazy.
Yeah.
He will not know what to do with himself.
I was in witness protection. Is that why you have so many names? I don't understand.
Oh, I can't wait.
Wait, you're not Danny's little boy. How is there Spencer?
Oh, I can't wait.
Danny! This guy's an identity thief!
Oh, I can't wait.
Puppet doesn't grasp that there's more than one
person. No, he doesn't get it.
He's easily confused.
Which makes him very endearing and lovable.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got a lot of coverage coming out of JoeCon, and the first thing you'll see is this, which you've sure already seen it, is the Tiger Force versus Iron Grenadiers and our look at that. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of build up to JoeCon, and now that it's here, it's finally like, ah,
yeah.
Now it's two more weeks to C2E2. Which should
and
be
then nothing.
For a while.
Then Avengers, and then nothing.
No, we've got a summer full of good movies. Terminator, well, I wouldn't say Terminator Genesis is going to be incredibly good. It might be, but we'll go see it. And
meh.
Jurassic World, and
the toys are out. The toys are out for that.
Any good?
No.
Oh, are they 2-inch?
Yes.
Oh, boo.
Well, the ones that they have at Toys R Us. The one cool thing is they still have the dino damage, but now it's like an actual like a little door that slides back. Well, so you don't have the piece that gets lost.
Right.
It looks okay when it's closed up.
Really?
Good. No, I'm actually kind of like, I think that was kind of a clever little way to do that.
Addition to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Well, there you go, guys. Make sure you check out our sponsor. Go to Shellhead Comics and more at shellheadcomics.com and check out our wonderful sponsor. Check out all they have to offer. Buy some great stuff for them because they got a lot of great vintage stuff at some really great prices, and they do really good business. So they should not be someone you are scared to do business with because they are wonderful.
Okay.
We've gotten some great stuff. Well, some people are, you know.
Since, no, I don't know.
Well, it's Shellhead's, since they, you know, it's just an
you
eBay.
You always kind of go on about the eBay thing. I don't quite understand.
Well, some people get, I don't know. They
buy lots of crap on eBay.
I do too, but some people don't. And, I just encourage you, check out Shellhead Comics and more at shellheadcomics.com and buy some stuff from him. Check out all the great stuff he's got. He's got a lot of good stuff there, so make sure you check that out. Check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. Just look up Toy World Order. You'll find the feed for both this show and Married to the Collection when Married to the Collection comes back here in a few weeks. So we're gearing up for that. So there'll be two podcasts on there for a while until the fall again. So make sure you check that out. And then check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/ToyWorldOrder. Hit subscribe, mash the like button, like all our videos. Lots of great stuff going on there too. We've got lots of great reviews that we're doing. I'm still throwing up Marvel.
Cranking them out, yeah.
There's about a Marvel Legends review every day this week, and there's more coming.
There's a whole basket full.
Yeah, so make sure you check that out. And gang, until next time.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.